Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. It is Thursday, or Falcons Thursday, as some of you might know it. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out with you on the morning before Thursday night football tonight between the Atlanta Falcons and the Buccaneers. What did you do to get ready for the game other than eating Chick-fil-A last night?
Dang, she acted like she knew you, bro.
I know.
Dang.
Well,
I told what did I have for dinner last night?
No, nobody cares. I kid.
I don't even remember.
I told y'all the story this morning how I confused the Chick-fil-A guy, because they're always on top of things, and Amy ordered from her app, and I went to get it, and this dude was looking for Amy in a brown Kia. I guess I shouldn't have told her car color away. I don't think it matters. And they got squid and a Chevy pickup truck, and dude was all kinds of confused.
Wait. So you carry a Louis around when you're traveling, but your pregame meal, could you consider that the meal before?
No, that's not my pregame meal.
No, that's not a night before?
Yeah.
Night before?
Yeah, pregame today.
I don't do a special pregame meal, mainly because it's hard to get one thing when you're, as you know, you travel or you're
not
in a rush.
Actually playing?
Just when you're traveling. You know, that's hateful. I do watch certain movies or shows every year. I pick a movie and it's like my pregame movie or episode of a TV show. This year, I went back to Tombstone.
I was gonna say, I'm not gonna judge you for watching the same movie. It is what it is. But what frame of mind would you say that you want the movie to get you in each week that you're watching?
War.
Really? So you're like, because I honestly thought I was going to give you credit, and I was like, maybe it's opposite. Maybe it just puts him in a point of zen to where he can just watch a movie that kind of calms him down and it's a good story. And you're like, no, war.
Remember,
I want to go to war.
Remember, I know, Tiff, you didn't finish the show. Remember Game of Thrones? And remember the episode where Jon Snow reclaims, what's the name of their cat? Winterfell, yeah. When he regames it in the battle of the, you can't say the word on the air, but the B word, where he goes and fights Ramsay.
that was
it last year. So I'd watch that episode home or away last year.
Wait, and before every game?
Yeah. And this year I've went to Tombstone. What?
Never mind.
This is also interesting.
What's the thought process there?
This is very interesting.
Don't know. That's probably my favorite episode of Game of Thrones is where Jon Snow defeats Ramsay, or really You know, I don't want to get into the spoiler alerts, as Grant called me out for yesterday, talking about Ned Stark being headless. But
okay, did it again.
But they just put it just, well, that's like literally the eighth episode of the show.
I know.
So.
I mean, I even saw that.
Yeah, even Tiffany saw that. But it just puts me into this mindset. Like, it just gets me, it's got, it puts me in a good place. I feel happy. I feel zen. I feel ready to go to battle in case, you know, 53 men ain't enough and they need a clown from the radio booth. I'm there, man.
That's kind of what I was alluding to. I was like, why? Like, what part of your, you know,
it's just
game day job do you
believe
think
it or not?
War?
Believe it or not, that relaxes me.
Okay, that's
war
what
and
I was
battle.
Good
believe
for
it or not, relaxes me. Puts me in like that. You know, I just feel in a good place.
Whatever you have to do to get relaxed, I'd say is probably a good thing.
Interesting.
I feel like that's a shot.
People have pregame like routines. Like, I prepare the same week for a game.
Yeah,
but I don't have a. There's not something that I do before, like, going on the field. This is very fascinating to me that you
don't wear like this. Well, I guess it's different because you wear a different outfit every week. And that's because you're on TV.
No, I know.
And people see you and stuff. Like, I wear the same socks every week on purpose. I wash them, but I'm very superstitious. I used to take my, when I would stand in the radio booth, I'd used to take my shoes off every game.
You didn't have any.
Yeah.
To ground yourself?
No, just.
You took your shoes off.
Yeah.
In the radio booth.
That's right.
That's not like a big room or anything, man.
My feet stink, dude.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I washed my feet and my socks.
In Dave Archer's seat and you took your shoes off next to me, I would look straight in the face and I would say, put your freaking shoes back.
I actually don't believe Dave would even tolerate that behavior.
Yeah. I don't think he noticed until someone pointed it out years later.
Okay.
Dude, I don't even know. Like, that's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard, man. Don't take your shoes. Like, no.
Well, I don't anymore because I sit down.
Now every time I watch booth cam and you celebrating and, you know, telling Wes there's 2 seconds left, all I'm going to think about is he wearing his shoes?
Yeah, I wear my shoes now because I'm sitting down the whole game. Okay. I used to stand and my feet would start hurting. That's also, well, you know why that started.
You,
you know why? You know what? All right, real quick. You know why it started?
Okay.
Because remember when you used to have to wear suits on the plane?
Yeah.
You were a player then.
Oh, yeah.
Well, dress shoes are uncomfortable as hell for my flat feet. So I would take my shoes off.
Mm.
Anyways, Braves loss.
What'd
you do last night? I saw the salmon. How'd it turn out?
It was delicious.
Yeah? I didn't get an after picture.
No, because I got, you know, sometimes you just tap out. Sometimes you get busy eating.
You know, that's called a tease.
I think
you tease us with the before and we don't get the after.
I know, because after pictures, you have to have a special setup to be able to take food pics. And
I don't know. I make my food look pretty good.
People who take food pics, they don't always, mine don't look good. And I don't really think anyone else's look good unless you have a professional camera, good lighting. And some people even go buy like a fake marble slab. You know, like you'd see in an advertisement.
Second guess everything.
Those look good.
I think you need to go to my Instagram and check out my meat, and I think you'd disagree. Mm. I think you would.
Nobody
I think
wants
you would
to
pull
see
that.
Food pics. But
I don't know.
I digress.
Get a lot of likes on my meat.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. You didn't give me a lot of
I think you
work with.
I think there was something on the bone there for you to
pivot.
All right,
you said Braves loss.
Nothing to chew on.
Disappointing. Mike and I had the same reaction, Tiff. They lost 5-4.
To the Padres, yep.
We had the same reaction after the first half inning. Here we go. Because Harris gets a double. Michael Harris, I'm going to stop myself before I go any further. Michael Harris.
Dog.
I could not be more impressed with the last month of your season. You got pushed into a role at the leadoff spot that honestly you had struggled at times with early in your career, and you killed it. You were the heartbeat of this team. You and the last month. Marcell Ozuna has never stopped being it all season, but you picked up where he at times where he needed it. He was 3-for-4 last night. He was 5-of-8 in two games with a home run and two RBIs. He had a two-run homer last night. But he gets a double. Albies goes to the down the right side of the infield, moves him over, and then Ozuna brings him in. And I thought things were looking up.
I did too. And we've talked about manufacturing runs, doing the small things, playing small ball. I'll go back to your Michael Harris comment for just 1 minute too. Michael Harris played in 2/3 of the games this year. I think he played in 109, 110, something like that. Was not great before the injury. Wasn't great coming back right off the injury for a couple of weeks. And then everything that I thought, well, I was concerned with Michael Harris absolutely went away like late August, man. And he turns it on and was the catalyst, it seemed like, and was going to try to will this team to victory yesterday. But I'm with you. The small ball was nice, Tiff. And when I saw that in the first inning and I saw them, Albie's just playing a little bit of pepper, moving the runner over, man. It's awesome. I thought, okay, it's time to go. And then the second inning started, and of course, things kind of fell apart from there.
You feel like this basically sums up the entire season.
Well, it does, because you go out in the first inning, Max gets in trouble with, what, three infield hits. I mean, balls aren't even leaving the infield, one of which hits him in the buttocks.
Yeah.
And then they have to look at him, and he stays in, gets out of it. He gets a strikeout, a ground ball to first. Olsen makes a great force play.
I don't think there's any way he's going to get out of that, dude.
And he gets out of it.
I feel like I took the negative approach to it. The fact that they even got to where they are now, despite all the injuries that they had this season, like right from the jump, right? You're missing pitchers. You're missing your ace. Like,
yeah.
So to be able to be in this position at the end of the year didn't end the way you wanted it to, but doesn't that say something about this team and something about Snit?
Well, I think it says a Snit should be the manager of the year. If I had told you that your starting lineup in a winner go home playoff game was Michael Harris, Ozzie Albies, Marcell Ozuna, Matt Olson, Jorge Soler, Eli White comes in at one point for him, Ramon Laureano, Travis Little D Darnot, Gio Urshela and Arcia, and Whit Merrifield was going to play, and Jared Kelnick would just come in at some point. I mean, Jared Kelnick got benched the last month of the season because Ramon Laureano outplayed him. And I just don't think any of those things is what you expected. You lose Acuna. You lose Riley. You lose Strider. You lose A.J. Minter. Michael Harris missed how many games? Ozzie Albies missed how many games?
Michael Harris missed about 50, if I'm not mistaken.
Renato Lopez missed probably 10 starts this year. You lose Chris Sale literally at the end of the season with I know he might have pitched if they had continued. It just was a team that was ravaged with injuries.
Yeah, and I don't know that I'm calling Snicker the manager of the year, but and it's tough because Rick Kranitz missed so much of the time, but that both of them, both pitching coaches, it seems like together, assistants of the year. I mean, I don't even know if that's a category, but my goodness, the way the pitching staff came together. And I did say this a minute ago. You wanted to talk about Michael Harris. How about the relievers over the course of this two-game series where you get swept? What, about 12 innings pitched and one earned run? I mean, it was absolutely incredible when you look at what they did with their backs against the wall.
The only reason you were here is, player-wise, was the pitching staff, starting and the bullpen. You had the best starting rotation ERA and the best bullpen ERA. You had the best team ERA in baseball. And then you go to the fact that you had guys like Kranix and Snitker and Abreu who held all those guys together.
It is a Falcons Thursday around here because it's Thursday Night Football. Falcons, Bucks, we've got a preview of this matchup on the way. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Minnesota bringing four. Ryan stepping up. Matt thought about it. Now gives ground. Going to flip it down the field. It's caught, Jones. Julio 10-5, touchdown Atlanta. Amazing. Ryan looked like he was going to tuck and run and backed up 3 yards and softly flipped it to Jones for the touchdown.
Wes Durham on the call of one of many memorable Matt Ryan plays and the former Falcons quarterback. He will be inducted into the Ring of Honor tonight during Thursday Night Football when they face the Bucs.
Yeah, well deserved. I was talking to your boy Zeno yesterday, and he was like, "Should already happened." And I was like, "Mark, it should have happened when he went to the booth." And I go, "Mark, he had to retire first. I mean, I think it would be odd if they put him in the Ring of Honor and then he's playing for like the Saints during a playoff push or something."
I don't think it's ever happened with anybody before. Has it? Someone's still playing and then there.
He goes, "Julio should be in too." And I go, "Mark, he hasn't retired yet."
Yeah.
"Where's he at?" And I go, "Well, nowhere, but he hasn't officially retired. He was still playing."
He got signed like week six or seven last year for the Eagles.
And I'm charging it up.
I know you are.
Slightly. He wasn't quite that loud when he yelled at me about it. But we were talking about it, and it was just so well-deserved. I mean, this guy is the greatest player in franchise history.
14 seasons.
No other way to look at it. He is the greatest player in franchise history. He's the only player that ever played here that won an MVP. He completely changed the trajectory of this franchise. You had the glory. The Atlanta Falcons don't have a lot of glory years, Mike. You played for them. You understand. You know the history a little bit. The glory years are when Matt was here.
Yeah, and let me kind of dive into that a little bit deeper, because another Ring of Honor guy that I played with was Tom McClure. And those are two of the easiest, most slam dunk Ring of Honor people that you will ever even come across. Like there are guys in the Falcons Ring of Honor that you may not know much about, or that didn't spend their entire career here, or whatever it may be. Like Tom McClure and Matt Ryan, obviously, two of those guys that need to go in. But I remember distinctly as a rookie sitting in the locker room, we were enjoying an incredible year in 2010, I guess it would have been. And Matt and Tom McClure just looks around and he goes, "Hey, y'all need to make sure that y'all soak this in, man. I've been here a long time and this doesn't happen that often." And I think at that point we were, I don't know, 8-3 or something like that. I mean, we had such a good record. So I think to your point, when you look at Matt Ryan's career and not just focus on the end, but really the career in its entirety and what he was able to do and the heights he was able to take this team to, it's a slam dunk. Like you can put all the stats aside and the team record or whatever else you want to look at, and just look at the man who led this team and the consistency that he brought and the work ethic that he brought on a daily basis out to Flowery Branch, man. I think it's a slam dunk as it could possibly be.
His teammate of seven seasons, the great Grady Jarrett, spoke about what it meant to be playing with Matt Ryan.
On the record, favorite Matt Ryan story. I mean, I think just being able to be his teammate, you know, Matt is somebody that I watched, you know, when I was middle school or something, or high school sometime, but I watched Matt Ryan run the Falcons, you know what I'm saying? Then for me to play with him for years, and then go to the Super Bowl with him, see him win MVP, you know, be able to develop a relationship with him outside of football and, you know, watch him, you know, family grow, stuff like that. I just truly admire, and I'm grateful that I got to spend time with him and learn things from him. And a guy who just, no matter where it was good, bad, and different, his preparation was the same every week. You know what I'm saying? He demanded the most out of his teammates, and, you know, he took on a lot of, hits, you know, physically and, you know, whether it's with words and stuff like that, and showed up and did his thing.
speaking from the heart, but also at the same time, calling him old.
He's not that far off. That's what's
Matt
crazy.
Would probably laugh
He's really
at that.
Really not that far
so,
off.
Which is hilarious. He watched him in middle school.
He's not. Yeah, he didn't, but he's not that far off.
And as true as what everything he just said is, he might want to be careful because there might be a couple of guys in that locker room that watch Grady Jarrett play in middle school, like Ruka Ro-Ro-Ro.
Oh, sure
there definitely
he knows.
Is.
I'm sure he knows.
There definitely is.
I know. And obviously, look.
He was not trying to roast him, obviously.
No.
Just
no,
him talking about recalling memories.
As I've said many times, that Grady Jarrett has and will always hold a special place in my heart because, you know, that's a guy that I've been around for a long time, and he's done a couple of things, interactions where I'll never forget. But it's funny because, dude, hey, you old too, Grady.
Yeah,
you're old now.
Well, I started doing the math in my head. So Grady would have been a rookie in 15.
That's right.
So, you know, if I don't know if he spent 4 years in college or three or five or whatever it may be, but you do the math on that. Matt's a rookie in 08. You're not that far off. Like,
no.
You know, you could have easily been like a sophomore or freshman in high school. So,
yeah,
it's unbelievable to think about, honestly.
Yeah, it's funny. And this is, look, Matt's guy that to get to kind of this matchup, Matt played in a lot of these games. So I think it's – and some of which that I was there for and covered in Thursday night football. So it's only fitting that he goes into the Ring of Honor against Tampa Bay on a Thursday night football game.
And you have to hope that they get a win on his induction night. The last meeting, obviously, was last season, December 10th. And the Bucs beat the Falcons 29-25 in Atlanta. But you look at this Bucs team's coming in, and they are just rolling behind quarterback Baker Mayfield, who is fourth in the NFL in passer rating, second in touchdown passes, fourth in passing yards. It's going to be a challenge.
It is, but they're also battling something that we're battling, and that's injuries. And Baker Mayfield is going to come in here, and a guy that caught a touchdown on a phenomenal throw by Baker Mayfield last
week—unbelievable, unbelievable.
Trey Palmer, which is across. I mean, that ball was just—he he threaded the needle in that throw. But Trey Palmer out. The rookie and former teammate of Michael Penix and target of Michael Penix, Jalen McMillan, out. But then you look at a guy that has gotten a little bit better over the last couple years, Luke Gadecki, concussion, out. Gotten out of protocol yet. And a guy that I thought it was a phenomenal player coming out of college and has started to slightly boost their defensive line and kind of come into his own, and that's Kalijah Kancey. He's out too. So those are five. And I'm sorry. Did I skip one? The second best safety in football.
I was going to say, dude, surely you're not going to move on without that one.
Antoine Winfield Jr., out.
Yeah.
And I think that is the situation. That right there is one where the Falcons have to take advantage of.
Yeah,
they have to take advantage.
List, but also you want to note on the Falcons side of things, news that was coming out, which is Troy Anderson. He did not receive the all clear to play. He was injured last week, and Coach Raheem Morris did announce that he has been ruled out of the game.
Yeah, he is. Mike, I think that was kind of one where if you've done and covered enough, which I know you have, Tiff, these Thursday night games, you kind of saw the writing on the wall.
There's no doubt about it.
Now,
I think the Thursday night factor is one of the biggest factors for all of these, right? When you talk about the short week and just your inability to get treatment. You know, a lot of those guys could have used
knee injury.
Right. These guys could have used, all these guys on this list that you just mentioned could have used three more days of treatment. And I think when you look at, obviously, when you look at the Troy Anderson injury and you look at the knee injury, it's not only that Troy Anderson's out, it's compounded by the fact that Nate Landman was already out, right? And you're dealing with him being on IR, and now you have to go to the rookie, J.D. Bertrand. And one of the talking points after roster cuts for us guys was how they only kept four inside linebackers, right? And I know that Rashawn Evans news has come out, and there's been a number of other pieces moved around, but it's still a position that you feel like is thin, and you start getting to a point where when you're playing J.D. Bertrand, you start kind of messing with personnel and doing different things, and I think that's a good thing when it comes to the matchups you're going to have tonight.
Well, defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake, pretty positive. Let's take a listen about J.D. Bertrand.
Yeah, you know, J.D. played really well, way back in the spring and into training camp, in those preseason games. he sees it really, really well. It's the reason why we drafted him. We can see and feel his football instincts. And when he once he arrived here, all of those traits showed up in practice. And so he got a few reps this last Sunday, played really, really well. And so, you know, us as coaches, we're expecting, you know, no drop off if that happens where he's going in there and go to play. And we have a lot of confidence in JD.
The most important thing for JD Bertrand is going to be diagnosing the run and not getting caught up in the trash around the, I say trash, but that's, you know, basically the stuff around the line of scrimmage where, you know, offensive linemen are, they're blocking, you know, you talked about how they want to run duo, Mike. Tampa Bay runs a lot of duo where you're double teaming guys up front if you can and trying to push them basically into that the linebackers, and it's kind of a wash there. And I think that we've done a bad job in the second level of getting out of that or getting off blocks and being able to shed these blocks and make plays. It's going to be very important for him. I think that's why Rashawn Evans is where they went. I was talking to Arch yesterday, and I said, man, I love the way I love the Rashawn Evans pickup to the practice squad. I said, I think he'll be elevated this week. And I said, Arch, I don't know. I just felt like he played so well against the run for a guy of his size when he was here. And the response was, he went to Alabama. They coached him right. And I think that's going to be – but J.D. Bertrand went to Notre Dame, and I think that you look at them, they're a team that defensively they coach players, I've always thought, right, especially in that linebacker core. So it's going to be important for them to play how he plays against the run to me.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think the main thing is when you're J.D. Bertrand and you're a rookie and you're seeing your first big game action, especially, and it's coming in primetime, right? You'll get your first start, it'll be in primetime, all the above. I think the key for him is going to be not trying to do too much. And I'm saying if you're getting 5 yards at a time, and you mentioned the duo play, they do a number of different things, pull in linemen, they run power, they run kick, they run a bunch of different things offensively. When you are getting, you know, gash for 4, 5, and 6 yards, it's going to it's important for you not to pull the trigger too early, right, and try to make this run fit and say, well, man, we can't give up any more 6 yard gains. The minute you pull the trigger too early and try to get downhill, that's the minute they're going to have an explosive. And I think that's one of the rookie mistakes you see at linebackers. It's like, oh, I'm gonna go get this guy, tackle for loss, and then Baker Mayfield pulls the ball out of his stomach and hits you over the top on one of those seam routes, and it gets even uglier.
I think they should run blitz more on first down. I think they should come out and test them early and try to get them behind the chains, and I think that could kind of keep them from getting an offensive rhythm early.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, the key to that, and I don't think you're wrong. I think you're going to have to start taking more chances, but the key to that is going to be the timing of it, right? Because the last thing you want to be is caught in a run blitz when they're, you know, taking a shot on first down and doing some different things. So Jimmy Lake has done an incredible job up to this point, as has the secondary, but I do think that this is a very much a chess match between him and Liam Cohen tonight to see which one of them can put together a better game plan.
We'll keep the Falcons talk going. Also, this game coming on the heels of the Braves wrapping up their season. And we've got some WNBA news, changes on the way for the Atlanta Dream. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, we got a lot to get to today, but some news coming here out of the city. The Atlanta Dream have fired Coach Tanisha Wright. They announced this yesterday afternoon. Now Wright, a longtime WNBA player, guided the Dream to a 48-68 record the past three seasons, making the playoffs this year and last year. Executive Vice President and General Manager Dan Padover said this, that it was a difficult decision. And then he went on to say, Tanisha was an important contributor in our efforts to rebuild the Dream. We want to thank her for her hard work and dedication over the last three seasons and wish her the best. So we will see what the future holds for the team. We are doing this TV's timeout edition of Thursday Night Football.
You're cackling, you know, over there.
Just cackling at
us. Day-Day. Day-Day's, you know, back there cracking jokes, and, you know, he's a funny guy.
Yeah. Does everyone have Falcons gear on here except for me?
No. Dylan's wearing.
I just grabbed whatever was lying around.
I was looking for a Falcon shirt this morning. I couldn't find it. I knew specifically which I wanted to wear, and I saw it because I folded it the other day, but I couldn't find it. So.
You laid out your clothes like you're going.
No, I didn't lay them out. I went looking for it in my closet because I knew I had folded it and put it in my closet, but I just couldn't find it.
I just grabbed whatever is clean. and throw it on and roll in. Anyway, we got Thursday Night Football. Falcons, Bucks going down tonight. This, if you recall, Coach Raheem Morris used to coach the Buccaneers. He now coaches the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
But have you, Mike, I know you're with the same team, but if you've talked to other guys, like, do you always remember you were with a previous team? You had ties to that team? Is there always maybe a little something extra driving you? Or maybe you just want to get the win because it's a former team. Or is there a point where you just don't care anymore?
I would say that it's probably something that has probably come to his mind that he would think about. But I think Raheem's got so much going on. I don't think he has time to actually look up and look at the horizon, right? I think you're looking at the, you know, kind of the next step. You're putting one foot in front of the other. You're trying to, you know, figure out game plans offensively, defensively. You're, you know, everything else that's going on inside of this franchise, outside of this franchise, and you know, prime time and the interviews you're probably doing and the whole Matt Ryan thing and everything else going on. I think that it's probably on his list. I just think it's like number 26. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's that far down.
Of, not that he's thinking it now, nostalgia a little bit. That was his first head coaching job. And
it's also his first DC job.
Right.
I would also think, too, I think that that will be a lot bigger talking point when we go to Tampa. Right, with it being in, like, to That's me, fair. The uniforms are the only thing that are any nostalgic to them, because I can't imagine there's anybody still with that team that was there, you know, that long ago. So it's just, I think it's one of those things that he probably has thought about. He probably put it in the back of his mind. Like I said, it's probably on his list. It's just way down his list. Yes. He's a busy man. So
I would say so, especially with the game plan this week.
Yeah, I think, and I think the Ring of Honor thing with Matt Ryan being there, special night, you know, Rockhold, he was. Part of the coaching staff. I don't want to say he coached, but he did kind of coach Matt when he was there. But this is also a team that, just like, you know, we talked about the Saints. It was like 55-55, I think, or something like that. And I think the Falcons might have taken the lead. There's, you know, with these records, it's always kind of one's always saying that there's one or another. This is one where I think Tampa leads the record 31-30 against the Falcons. So a chance to get even. But also, it's just such a big, it's quietly a huge game for both teams. It's quietly a huge early season game for both teams, because the Falcons need to win this, because you have a chance. You go, what no one's talking about is you play this game, you turn around, you play the Panthers in Carolina, then Seattle comes here, which is another big NFC game, especially with how well Seattle's played early this year, and you know that San Francisco is, you would think San Francisco could make a charge in that division.
They're getting
healthy
at some point, yeah.
But you go to Tampa on the 27th, and then you play Dallas at home, and then you go to New Orleans on the
10th. So what you're saying is the schedule doesn't get any easier.
And this is a big early division game that you need to take. You want to get to 3-2 and be 2-0 in the division, because you've got some road the next three division games you play are on the road, and none of them are easy. Because I think Carolina is a lot harder than it was three weeks ago.
There's no doubt about it. And look, you feel like, to your point, like, you feel like this is one you need to get. I will say this much, though, and I agree with you. This is a huge game, but I think it all depends on how the Falcons look, right? I think it depends on, even if they lose, I think it would depend on how they lost. It would make me kind of look at this team. Like, we won last week. I don't know that I felt any better about the team, right? And that's one of the tough things. And we've said before about being on the postgame show. It's like, I get 3 minutes to try to develop, and I'm so furious at what the offense looked like on the 4-minute drive that I get on the postgame show, and I don't even sound happy that Younghoe Koo just was able to knock this game winner down. So if the Falcons were to lose this game and it was like 35-32, I'd be like, man, that offense came alive finally. But that's not the way that anybody wants to look at it. And you want to be able to win this game in a prime time with Amazon going on and pulling the first place and everything else, and kind of set yourself up for this stretch run to kind of get through the gauntlet that is the middle of the season. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch. And like we talked about, it's going to be a matchup-driven game for sure.
I'm tired of playing these tough defenses. Last week we had the fifth best scoring defense in the league, Tiff. This week we played the ninth. And I'm just like, hey, can we catch a break? Like, can we catch? No, well, we have the.
They're minus their best player, so we're trying to catch a little bit of break.
You mentioned Antoine Winfield. Not playing in this one.
If you believe that's their best player.
One of their best players.
I 100% believe that's their best player.
I will tell you this. Number 50 and number 54 are guys that seem to always show up when the red and black is in town or they come to town. I mean, Levante David has played 23 games against the Falcons. He's only got 175 tackles, 23 tackles for loss. This guy has a way, and he's coming off one of his best games in a while. I mean, last week he had two sacks, two separate tackles for loss, a forced fumble, a pass breakup, a quarterback hit. I mean, this guy was everywhere last week. In fact, they had two sacks going into last week. They had same, and he had two of them. So he's playing like he's 24 years old. And then you got Vita Vea, who's just a beast week in and week out.
Yeah, he's a matchup problem. You're gonna have to try. The good thing is, I said this last year, I think he usually plays well into what the Falcons try to do. That's why you run wide zone, right? We don't run any A-gap plays. So hopefully you can kind of eliminate Vita Vea in that aspect and try to, you know, take some pressure off Ryan Neuzel's shoulders.
We'll keep getting you set here for Thursday Night Football and the Braves. Their season over after falling in the wild card to the San Diego Padres. What does the future hold for the manager, for Snit? Excuse me. We'll be right back to discuss next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead. Be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.